Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us daily. But Lord, sometimes we suffer. We go through pain. And we have to struggle. And when these things happen to us, we normally say that you have abandoned us, that you don't love us. Lord, this morning, if there is anyone here who is suffering, who is going through a very difficult situation at home, I pray, Lord, that you may cause that person to go back home in peace, knowing that you are with them. Lord, if there is anyone here today who is struggling or fighting against a sinful nature, again, I pray that you may remind them all that you are the one who can set us free. Because all things are possible to you, Lord. You parted the Red Sea, you shut the mouths of the lions, and you saved your people from the fires. And you are still alive today and the same. That's why, Lord, we pray that you speak to us through your word. Give us hope, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this sermon is, I am the resurrection and the life. So let's talk about Jesus. What a wonderful topic. I am the resurrection and the life. Please turn with me to John chapter 11. And we're going to read verse 25. That's the scripture reading. John 11, 25. And this is something that Jesus said. John 11, 25 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Why did Jesus have to say this? We need to go back a few more verses and read verses 1 to 3, and we'll find out what was happening. John 11, verses 1 to 3. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now, Lazarus didn't just have a runny nose here. He was terminally ill. He was dying. And now Martha and Mary sent the messengers to Jesus saying, Lord, Lord, behold, he whom you love, Lazarus, whom you love, is dying. And I have a question for you this morning. Those whom Jesus loved, did they get terminally sick? Oh, yes. Those whom Jesus loved, do they suffer emotionally? Do they suffer financially? Yes. Those whom Jesus loves, do they have problems in their marriages? Do they have problems with their children going away from Jesus? Yes. But when these things happen to us, we say, God has abandoned me. God doesn't love me. Otherwise, why is he allowing all these things to happen to me? He doesn't love me. We normally say that, don't we? When these things happen to us. But why do these things happen? Because we live in a world of sin. And ever since Adam and Eve fell, ever since Adam and Eve sinned, Satan has been rejoicing in causing us misery. He has been rejoicing in making us suffer, rejoicing in stealing our happiness. He wants to make you miserable. He doesn't want you to be happy because this is a world of sin. But no situation that destroys your happiness actually comes from God. In Jeremiah 29:11, it tells us that the plans that God has for you and for me are plans or thoughts of peace, not thoughts of evil. We suffer because we live in a world of sin. But God has plans of peace and happiness for all of us. Satan wants you to think that all your suffering and pain is actually God's fault. He blames God for everything. And I remember a story. I'd like you to come with me to Job chapter 1, verse 16, where it says that you can actually see how Satan tries to blame God. You know the story well when, you know, God was very pleased with Job, who was perfect and just and fearing of him, of God, shunning evil. And one day Satan presents himself before God among God's sons, and God says to him, "Have you seen my son Job? Faithful to me, obedient to me." And what did Satan say? "He does not love you for nothing," right? For no reason. "Touch him and you'll see. Touch everything that you've given him and you'll see how he will curse your name in your face." So God allowed Satan to do certain things. But God had a purpose. God had a purpose in this. So if you go to verse 16, Job 1:16, this is after one of the servants returns with bad news. There comes another one with bad news as well. Verse 16 says, "While he was still speaking," while the other servant was still speaking, "another servant also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you.'" So this was, according to that servant, the fire from God. This is God punishing us. But it was in reality Satan, as you can see in this story. But Satan wants us to believe that all bad things that happen to us, all the suffering, is caused by God. Because otherwise, if God loves you so much, why is he punishing you like this? You know? But sometimes God allows these things to happen for a purpose, as we will see in the story of Lazarus. So please don't allow this thought that everything is God's fault to come into your mind. Let the devil take away everything you have, but do not allow him to take from you your trust in God. Okay? And be like Job and say, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Even though you may not understand why these things are happening to you, say, "I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that he loves me. I know that he has a purpose. I know that I am in his hands, and therefore there is a reason for it." And rest assured that you will find out in this life or in the next. But there is a reason. Maybe you're suffering today and no one knows. Maybe you're struggling, you're tired of being overcome by a sinful habit or overcome by a horrible unchristian character, and you're tired of that and no one knows. But put your trust in God today. It's never too late. Your darkness will soon disappear. There is a new day awaiting for you, but you need to trust in God. You need to wait patiently in the Lord. Please don't wait patiently. Wait patiently in the Lord. That means spending time in his word. You can wait without Jesus, which is horrible, or you can wait with Jesus, which is full of hope and promises. Wait in the Lord if you're going through a difficult time, and you will have an answer according to his will and according to his time. I may not know your situation right now, but believe me, I do know what God is capable of doing. I have seen him in action in my life and in the lives of many people. He's always on time. He's never late. It's just that we don't like waiting. Ever wondered why God makes us wait? Does it seem to you that the more you pray, the worse it gets? And the more you wait? It's not easy. But this is what happened in the story that we are reading. Let's go back to John chapter 11 and verse 6, please. Now, Martha and Mary were actually praying, I'm sure. But since Jesus was on earth, they went and sent messengers to him. I mean, if you knew that Jesus was on this earth, what would you rather do? Would you pray only, or would you pray and also send for Jesus? Right. And that's exactly what these women did. I'm sure they were praying, but they sent for Jesus because Jesus was on this earth. So they sent for Jesus, and in verse 6, John 11, verse 6, he says this. So when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. I mean, does that make sense to you? The one that he loves is dying. He gets the urgent message, and then he decides to wait 2 days and do nothing. Just wait 2 days. Let me tell you, many times God's will not make sense to us. But it's the best thing that can happen to us all the time. And this is one of these occasions where it seems that, no, it doesn't make sense. I would have done it differently. I don't think Jesus understood the message of these messengers. But he understood. He knew exactly what was happening. He had everything under control. It's just that we don't like waiting. Do you like waiting? Gentlemen, do you like waiting when you go to the mall with your wives? Huh? We don't like waiting. I mean, a few weeks ago, my wife was with a very severe pain at the back, lower back. And horrible pain. I've never seen her like that. And I called the ambulance, and they said to me, oh, we'll be there in 10 minutes. You know, but she was actually passing a kidney stone, but we didn't know it. Very painful. And when they said to me, we'll be there in 10 minutes, I can assure you, every minute seemed to me like half an hour. I'm not sure if paramedics are like that in this town. Maybe, eh? Are they efficient? Very efficient. Okay, I hope so. But it took ages. I could not wait. I don't like waiting, so I ended up taking my wife to the hospital myself. We don't like waiting, do we? That's right. But sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes our perspective of time is different than God's. For him, 1,000 years is nothing. For us, it's eternity. He has always the right time. He's never late. But I'm glad that the reason why he makes us wait is actually described in this chapter. Let's read. There's 2 reasons. John 11, verse 4 says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. If you are suffering or struggling right now and it seems that God is making you wait, it may be that you are going to glorify God's name by your experience. Maybe after you go through it, you will glorify his name. Some people have even died to give glory to his name. I'm not sure what's God's will for everyone. But one of the reasons why he seems to be silent or he makes us wait is because we are going to give glory to his name. The other reason is also explained in this chapter. Let's go to 11 now. Verses 14 and 15. 14 and 15. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. Doesn't make sense, right? Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. But that's God. He is the God of the impossible. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. That you may believe. The same reason is repeated in verses 41 and 42. We can read this as well. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Because they were blaming Jesus for the things that he used to say. He used to say, I am the light of the world, and they were blaming him and accusing him of being a blasphemer. But he allowed delay. He made this woman wait. He made Lazarus himself wait as he was sick because he needed people to believe in him. Two reasons. It could be for his glory, or it could be that we need to believe in him. And so he delays so that we may try different things on our own. And when we finally realize that we cannot fix it, that there is nothing that can be done, then he shows up in the fourth watch. Right? So that we may believe that it is he. So if he's taking too long, maybe it's because you're not ready for him to show up. You need to be convinced that there's nothing that you can do. But he should be our first resort. Unfortunately, he's our last many times. So he's waiting for us to claim and to pray and to cry out to him and to recognize that we cannot do it without him. So that's why he took so long, for these two reasons. Another thing that I'd like you to notice in this chapter is that it wasn't safe for Jesus to go to Bethany at all. Please read with me John 11, verse 8. When the disciples heard the message that Jesus had to go to Bethany, verse 8 says this, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again? Difficult. If you go to John 8 in verse 59, they tried to stone Jesus as well because he said, I am the light of the world. But he escaped. Then in John 10:31, the second time it says, John 10:31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And then if you go down to verses 39 and 40, it says, therefore, because they were trying to kill him, therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. So Jesus avoided going to Jerusalem. Bethany was only 2 miles away from Jerusalem. So he would not go to Bethany or Jerusalem because it was too dangerous. Some of the Jews and Pharisees hated Jesus and wanted to kill him. And so he had avoided them for a while. But as they say, only weddings and funerals can bring people together that otherwise would never meet. It's amazing what funerals can do. And so Jesus and the Pharisees meet again at that funeral, right? So I want you to know that for Jesus, going to Bethany was like committing suicide. Yet he went because he loves us. I want you to know that Jesus will do everything he can, everything it takes to save you. Loves you. He'll do it. Let's go to John now, verses 11 to 14. Is death too difficult for Jesus to solve? John 11, verses 11 to 14. These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. In other words, the disciples knew that it was risky for Jesus and also for them to go near Jerusalem. And so they said to Jesus, "Lord, if he's actually sleeping, he'll get well. Don't risk it." And then in verse 14, then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." So for Jesus, death is just a sleep. Why? Because he is the resurrection and the life. "I am the resurrection and the life," says he. "Whoever sleeps, whoever is dead, even though he's dead, he shall." Just like going to sleep. So if you die believing in Jesus Christ, if you die loving Jesus Christ, but you happen to die, it's just as if you're going to sleep. I haven't seen anyone yet when they go to sleep, they go crying and saying, "Oh, goodbye, I'm never going to see you again." You know? Because you know you're going to wake up the next morning. It's just a sleep. And that's exactly what death is for those who die in Jesus. It's just going to sleep. You know you're going to wake up, don't you? Because Jesus is the life and the resurrection. In other words, if you're standing in front of Jesus, you're standing in front of the resurrection. If you're standing in front of Jesus, you're standing in front of life. The resurrection is not just a concept. The resurrection is a person, Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't have life. He is life. He's able to give us life, right? He is the resurrection and the life. The problem is that when Jesus shows up in our lives, we say, "No, Jesus, you're too late for me. It's too late. I've been doing this for too long. I don't think I can change. You're too late. My marriage has been broken for so many years. I don't think you can do anything about it. You're too late." Yet he is the resurrection and the life. And that's exactly what Martha and Mary said to Jesus when he arrived. Let's have a look here. John 11, verses 21 to 25, to see how Martha reacted. John 11, 21 to 25. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." What was Martha doing? She was blaming Jesus. "Jesus, this is your fault. Lazarus is dead because you're late. If you had been here earlier, my brother would have been alive." How we blame God for the things that happen to us. Then, verse 22. "But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." So she had some faith, but she would never thought what Jesus was about to do. Maybe she thought that Jesus was able to give them courage so that they would feel a lot more better. And you'll see that this is true when you read the next verses. Let's continue reading verse 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." So he was actually giving her the good news. And this is what she answers. Martha, verse 24. Martha said to him, "I know that he will live. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." I know, Jesus. I know he will live in the resurrection day, at the last day. And that's why Jesus had to say to her, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I mean, can't you see? I'm standing in front of you. I am the resurrection and the life. But she couldn't see it. Say, for example, that you have asthma. You can die if you don't go to the pharmacy and get a specific medicine. And you need to run to the pharmacy and get that medicine before you die. Now, say again that I happen to have that exact medicine in my hands right now and I'm in front of you. Would you still tell me that you need to go to the pharmacy when I want to give it to you? Would you still go to the pharmacy? How would I feel if you tell me that you want to go to the pharmacy when I have the medicine that in front of you in my hands? You know what I would think? That you don't trust me. Now, how do you think he felt? Him being the resurrection and the life, and Mary or Martha saying to him, yes, Lord, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection day, at the last day, when the resurrection was in front of her. And Martha was placing her hopes on a day, resurrection day. But brothers and sisters, without Jesus, there is no resurrection day. It will never happen without Jesus. We may place our hopes on the fact that we keep the Sabbath day. But if you don't have Jesus in your heart, the Sabbath is meaningless. You would be dead. You may know all the doctrines by memory, but if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're dead. Because Jesus is the life. Jesus is the resurrection. And we need Jesus, right? What about Mary? What did she say to Jesus when he arrived? Let's go to John 11:32. Maybe Mary said something different. Verse 32 says, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Same thing. She was blaming Jesus. It's your fault. Lazarus is dead because you're late. And Jesus, being the resurrection and the life, had to listen to those words. You know, our lack of faith, our lack of trust actually hurts God a lot. When we don't believe that he actually can change our habits, our likes, we are hurting him. When we don't believe that he can transform our marriages, we are hurting him. Because he can. But we normally hurt him by not believing in what he can do. Everything. All we have to do is believe. Now Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And according to everyone there, Jesus was too late. Jesus, you may go back to where you were. It's too late. Don't bother. We're fine. There's nothing that you can do. Lazarus' body was now decomposing and putrefying. The stench of death made people actually gag and get away from that tomb. You know, that's how horrible death is. So they had to place a big stone to cover the entrance of that tomb because of the stench. Let me ask you, have your dreams of a happy marriage been dead for so long that now they are decomposing? Have you been fighting against a sinful habit and against a horrible and Christ-like character for so long that you think there is hope? Are your children so far away from God that your hopes of seeing them in heaven are dying? and decomposing as well? Is there someone you love, sick, or in jail, and you now think that there is no hope? Has the church perhaps stopped growing a long time ago that now it seems that it's dead? I want you to listen to Jesus once again. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Even if you're dead, you shall live again. Do you believe that? Do you believe that, church? There is nothing impossible for Jesus Christ. He can resurrect your dreams and hopes. Now the story finishes in verses 38 to 44. But I want to focus on verse 39 and 43. Let's read John 11, 38 to 44. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. He was groaning in his spirit. He actually cried, not because Lazarus was dead. He knew what he was about to do. He wasn't crying because of that. He was crying because of the unbelief of everyone. When he saw everyone crying hopelessly, that made him cry. Don't you think that we also make God cry when we don't believe that he can forgive, that he can restore, that he can transform? Yes, we do. Now, Jesus is here in front of this stone against the entrance of the tomb. In verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus commanded them to remove the stone. Take away the stone. And the interesting thing here is, why would he ask them to take away the stone? I mean, he had power to resurrect the dead. Didn't he have power to take away the stone as well? Of course he had. Then why did he ask people to help him with that? We need to understand that there are things that only God can do. Things like resurrecting your marriage. Things like giving you a new heart. Things like transforming back your dreams and hopes. Bringing back your children that were running away from God. These things are miracles that only God can do. But there are things that God will not do for us. Like believing, like trusting, like accepting him, like responding to the call, standing up. Those things you have to do, and then he will do the impossible. You respond, you accept, you believe, and he does the impossible. They could have removed the stone, so they did. Remember, there is a part that we need to do. But God will do the impossible for us because he is the resurrection and the life. Trusting in God for us is not easy sometimes, right? Like I said before, sometimes his will doesn't make sense. His will, you know, is scary sometimes. We think that we're going to lose everything we have if we're faithful to him. But if we trust him, we could see his power. It's so easy for us, right, to trust other people. We are willing to trust in airplane pilots and surgeons. Willing to trust God. And he is infinitely more powerful than anybody else on earth. Anyways, let's keep reading. What happened next? Verse 40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" That's all we need to do. Believe, just because he said it, not because it makes sense to us, just because he said it, we need to believe. Then verse 41, Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said these, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, only you, not everybody else. Some people say that if Jesus would not have said Lazarus, if he would have said something like, come forth, every dead would have raised. So he had to be specific, Lazarus, only you for now, come forth. And notice this, Jesus knew exactly where Lazarus was. He did not say, Lazarus, come down, as if he was in heaven, enjoying the glories like some people believe. Jesus said, come forth, because he knew that Lazarus was in the tomb. And that's where all the dead are, in the tomb, in the grave. Lazarus, come forth, he said. And then the story finishes in verse 44. And he who had been dead for 4 days, he who was stinking and nobody could stand to him, he who had no hopes, he who had died, came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. And Lazarus was free. What a story. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He can bring back your hopes and dreams, your purpose in life. Now let me ask you again, do you think it is too late for Jesus to come into your heart? Is it too late for you and for me? Maybe you always come to church, but you no longer have any interest in walking with Jesus. Do you think it's too late for you? It's never too late. Maybe you think you're alive, but you've been dead for so long and you didn't know it. Maybe you come to church every Saturday, but you're dead. And you need someone to let you know that you're dead. And you need someone to wake you up from the dead. And that someone is Jesus Christ. Have you been sinning for so long that now you have no hopes for victory in your life? You think that you've been overcome by sin? Think again. Jesus is the life and the resurrection. Have your hopes and dreams been dead for so long that they are now putrefying and decomposing? Whatever it is that you are going through, think again. Is it too late? The answer is no. It's never too late. Jesus is never late. He's always on time. Even though we may think it's too late, he's always on time. It's never too late. I have a friend. And he used to be one of my sports teachers when I was 11 years old. He was really good at gymnastics, really good. Eventually, he started probably walking away from the Lord, little by little. And he started having some issues. And he started to feel attracted to the same sex. He started liking other men. And eventually he got to the point where he actually dressed up as a woman and he changed his name to a name of a woman. And according to everyone at church, he was a lost case. He was dead. He was stinking. He was putrefying. He was decomposing. There was nothing to do for someone like that. He was dressing up as a woman. There's nothing you can do for that. Right? But not for Jesus. And somehow, one day, somehow, God was able to touch his heart. He was able to listen to his voice. The dead, the one who was dead, actually listened to God's voice as he said to him, "Wake up, come forth, you're mine." And he decided to respond. He decided to believe. And now I can tell you, he's married to a woman, and they have a son. God gave them back his dream. God gave him back his dream of having a normal family. Do you think it's too late? It's never too late. If you believe in Jesus today, your hopes and dreams can be resurrected today. You may be a walking dead, spiritually speaking, with the stench of death all over you, but if you can only believe, if you come to Jesus and give him your heart, you will be alive again. But don't forget this. God cannot believe for you. You have to believe. How can I have Jesus? Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. How can I have Jesus? By having a daily encounter with him. And I said, daily, every day. And I want to make an appeal today for you. If you think that you haven't had a daily encounter with Jesus Christ, and you would like to say, "Lord, I am here, and I want from now on to have a daily encounter with you. I want to have a special time with you that nobody else will interfere with," would you like to stand up perhaps and say, "Yes, Lord, I want to spend time with you daily. I haven't done that really very well in the past, and I want to depend on you now"? Do you want to tell Jesus, "Please make me whole. Please transform me into the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that you want me to be"? If there's someone here, praise the Lord for you. And this is a personal decision, you know. Actually, I am standing here as well with you. I need Jesus daily. We need to die every day. We need to die every day. Because he is the life. Without him, we're dead. Perhaps there's someone here who would like to study the Bible more, to get to know Jesus more. And maybe one day in the future, surrender completely to him, all that you are, all that you have. Would there be someone here who would like to study the Bible a bit more? Amen. Anybody else who would like to study the Bible, to get some Bible studies? I'm sure there's a lot of people here who would love to give you Bible studies. Who are you? Are you here? Remember, without Jesus, he is the resurrection, and he is the life. It doesn't matter if your life is a bit of a mess. It doesn't matter if you think that there is no hopes for you to change. It doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what Jesus says. And if he says that he can make you alive, if he says that he can change your heart, then believe it. And even if you're dead, you shall live again. Is there anybody else who would like to stand up and say, "Jesus, I want to walk with you"? Praise the Lord. Anybody else who would like to study the Bible daily? And I mean daily. Sometimes we just read the Bible just because we have to and just because we need to tick a box. Myself, as a pastor, I'm tempted to read the Bible because I have to prepare a sermon every week. But how many times do we actually go to the Bible just to find out how much God loves us? Just to ask him, "What is your will for me today as I read your word?" Just to ask him, "Show me the treasures of your word today." When you do that daily, you will have such a power that even if you're dead, you'll come alive. I'm going to pray for your decisions, okay? Because this invitation comes from Jesus Christ. And the invitation is for you and for me. And as I'm praying, if you feel in your heart that you want to stand up, please do so. Do so. Maybe if there is someone who would like to get ready for baptism in the future, if you want to come to the front while I'm praying, please do so. Don't think of anybody else. Just do it. Just do it. Remember, Jesus can transform your life. He can resurrect your life, but he cannot make you come. You have to come. And then he will do the impossible. If you want to do that, please feel free to do it. I'm just going to pray. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for everything that you have done for us and for everything that you will continue doing for us. Lord, we all deserve to die. But because you love us so much, you came to earth, you lived without sinning, and therefore you deserve to live. And then you come to us and says, and you say, please, I'll give you what I deserve. You give me what you deserve. And we who deserve to die, now we have the opportunity to live forever if we believe in you. Thank you, dear Jesus, for the power that you give us to change our natures, to change our sinful habits, for overcoming. We could not do it without you. We may be able to fake it, perhaps, but that doesn't matter to you. We can deceive everybody else, but not you. Thank you for changing us from within. Thank you for resurrecting us. Thank you for restoring our dreams. Thank you for giving us back that assurance of salvation. There's nothing like going to bed knowing that we will see you face to face when you come or if you call us to rest. Lord, I want to pray for the decisions that have been made today. There's different decisions here. Some maybe are suffering, going through something really difficult, maybe no one knows. And they are standing here because they want to feel your presence right next to them right now. They have recognized that you are the resurrection, and they know that you will resurrect their lives, their hopes, their dreams, their purpose in life. Maybe there's another person here struggling with a temptation. Lord, please set them free. You are the life. And death has nothing to do with you. Please, Lord. If there is someone here who has been touched, someone who would like to study your word and be blessed and surrender his or her life to you completely, please, Lord, strengthen that resolution. Don't allow the devil to weaken that resolution. Surround these people with your holy and mighty angels. Bring down any wall of separation, any wall of prejudice. If there is anything that is hindering us from completely surrendering our lives to you, please give us a glimpse of your power. If we think that we're going to lose our jobs, and we're not going to have enough to feed our children, please, Lord, give us a glimpse of your power, that you are capable of a lot more than we can imagine. But, Lord, strengthen us today because we need to make that step of faith. We need to take it. And then we'll be able to see what you're capable of. I pray for everybody here, for all our families, for this church, their pastor, his family as well. Keep us safe and connected to you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless us all. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Yes. Praise God for Matt's decision here. Surrendering his life to Jesus. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, this morning we claim that power of the blood of the Lamb to fill our hearts, to give us victory over our sins, to help us, Lord, with our unbelief. You're capable of anything. We can do all things in you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your guidance in the Word. Please, Lord, help us to stay connected with you daily. No matter how old or young we are, we need you, Lord, daily and personally. We ask these things and thank you once again. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.